Good afternoon. Welcome to Embracing the Chase, brought to you by InfinitelyHome.com, the website for first-time home buyers and affordable home buyers, Building Fortunes Radio, and Blog Talk Radio. Embracing the Chase is a radio show presenting a unique personal improvement thought which will make your life better and your business grow. Let me ask you a question. Are you keeping the humble and hungry balance? All right, I can see everybody out there going, huh? What is the humble and hungry balance? I get my regular meals each day. What do I need to be humble about? Well, good question. I have found that two words are the key to a life and a career of continuous improvement and growth. Whether you're just starting out or trying to make a name for yourself, or you have achieved the pinnacle of success, it's important to remember to be humble and stay hungry. What is humility? Because it's very difficult sometimes to define that term, and I think for different people it's different things. For someone who is a farmer, or who works outside and who recognizes that every day there is a power higher than he that helps him perform his duty on a continuing basis, I think humility is something that is easier to come by than the person who perhaps works in the stock market or in a bank, where there are rates of exchange and they're caused by people every day. I think it's harder for those people to stay humble. It's harder for them to think about whether or not they should recognize the forces in their life that help make that change. Because I don't think that anyone thinks that they know it all. I think some people reflect that. I think some people see themselves as better than they are or better than we, and that causes them to be less humble. I see myself as a lifelong learner who is always seeking ways to learn, grow, and improve. You know, there are several ways each day that I find myself learning from the people around me or even the animals around me. My dog teaches me things every day that, you know, I don't think about at the time. But when we go out for our walks for them to do his, for him, her to do her business, excuse me, and she avoids certain areas and I want to get the walk over with because I'm tired, and so I direct her to those areas, and sometimes she won't go there. And it's very easy after a while to see why. There are either infestations of insects, it's someplace that every other dog in the world goes, and she knows that and doesn't want to go there, wants to stake her claim out at a new area, or just frankly doesn't like the way the grass feels. Whatever way it may be, you know, I need to listen to her. My wife teaches me every day. Today, I got up this morning, and my computer would not connect to the internet. Now, I had bounced my computer on the floor last night. It shouldn't have been a big enough deal, but it wouldn't work. And I tried all the things that I knew how to do, and I couldn't get it done, and it was very frustrating for me. And I was upset because I had a lot of things to get done. That was a new computer that I had, and I wasn't really prepared to send it to the repair shop or have to get another one. And so I had to do some errands, so I left. And I was just a mess. I mean, it really frustrated me. And I came back, and my poor wife had just gotten up from bed and taken her shower, and my mood was not the best in the world. I had told her what would happen, and I had left her a note, but she hadn't got it up yet, and so she hadn't seen the note, and that frustrated me. And pretty soon, I was ready to punch walls. And so, I sat down, tried to work the computer again, and didn't work. And so, my wife comes over and sits down in the chair opposite me and takes the computer, and within 30 seconds, she had it fixed. It was a switch that I didn't know was there. It was a new computer. I just put the computer in front of me and it worked, and I was fine with that. But sometimes you need to know a little bit more about something before you get pissed off. There are ways to make things work without being frustrated. That's what you need to do. You need to see everyone as a teacher and learn from everyone you meet. You should always be open to new ideas and strategies to take your life, your school, and work to the next level. When people tell you that you are great, don't let it go to your head. And when they tell you that you stink, don't let it go to your head. Be kind to everyone and let people know that they matter. Live with humility, because the minute you think you have arrived at the door of greatness, it will slam right in your face. I've been there. Humility doesn't mean you think less of yourself. It means you think less of yourself. Less. Does that make sense to you? I hope so. Because your concern should not be for yourself. You should recognize yourself, and I preach a lot about, you know, reinventing yourself, emphasizing the good points, thinking about what you need to do to improve and what you need to do, and then recognize that you do them, and recognize to yourself that you do them. That has nothing to do with recognizing the gifts that others bring to the table. You know, you need to know that your gifts aren't superior to their gifts. They work in conjunction with you. They work together to make what you do better. So at the end of the day, you know, you just need to recognize yourself less. Less. All right. But I don't want you to ever stop being hungry. Being hungry means that you're always striving for success. That's what you want. You want to follow the passions and continuously improve and continue to dream. I will tell you that dreaming is the best thing that you can do, because it reinforces what you've set as the goals for yourself. I have dreams. Those dreams are there. Several weeks ago, we found a house that we both fell in love with, and we're looking for a house. But this house was far outside of our budget, probably twice what we should be spending. But this house sat on the ocean, or actually on a lake, which emptied into an ocean, and gave us the opportunity to be on the water without being in fear of hurricanes. It had an infinity edge pool, which literally made it look like your yard went right into the lake. Fabulous house that had all the features that we look for in a house. And wasn't that old. And would be a fabulous house to spend the rest of our lives in. It is your forever home. But we recognized that we weren't there, and so I recalculated what needed to happen. And I reset my goals, because I want that house. And I don't know if that house will be there when I'm ready to buy that house, because I'm going to have to do more work at a much greater level than I'm planning on. I'm going to need a new supplier, which I'm working on. I'm doing all the things necessary so that I can get that house. Because at the end of the day, that's what I'd like, and I believe that's what my wife would like, to spend our final days in. And I have to double my efforts to get that accomplished. And what that has done is just make me all the hungrier to accomplish my dreams. It has a tendency at times for me to get frustrated with people who don't seem to understand how important my dream is. I have a guy who is my rep for one of my products. And he's about as worthless as tits on a boar, to be real honest with you. But the company hired him to represent them with me. And so I have to be tolerant at times, but there are times when I'm not. And so the simple fact is that I needed some information, and he told me that he would have it last Friday. And it's today, and I had got 1/8 of what I needed. He finally let me know today that he had requested help from two of the girls in the office to help him get the information that he needed. Well, at least he took the initiative to do that, and I thanked him for it and congratulated for him on his good management skills. What I realized was that, you know, he needed to be recognized. He needs to know that I think he's doing a good job. So I will continue to pat him on the back because it serves a purpose for me. And that's the way you should look sometimes at the people you're working with. You have to be willing to pay the price that greatness requires. Don't be average. Strive to be great because you need to be the hardest worker that you know. Love the process and you'll love what the process produces. You know, you want to leave because knowing how you want to be is leaving a legacy. Even at my age, it's important to think about what a legacy is. And because I'm building affordable home ownership, there's a huge legacy out there that I'm going to leave. And I want to leave that legacy. I want my mark to be on that legacy. I want people to say, look what was accomplished through the National Affordable Home Ownership Coalition. That's what I want. Because that way, you know, it'll help me decide how to live today. I don't focus on where I've been. I focus on where I am and where I'm going. I make my life and my work a quest for excellence, and that's what you need to do. Every day, reach for that excellence. Every day, ask, how can I be better today than I was yesterday? Make your next work your best work. My hope is that these words will move you to action, regardless of your age, education, or career status. If you stay humble and hungry, everything else will take care of itself. Think about what we've talked about. Think about it every day. Think about how you can use humility and being humble to help you improve your relationships with people. Because that helps you at the next level to continue to be great. Because those people, you do it. Like I told you yesterday, nobody does it alone. You need everybody in your life. And if you don't think so, I'll watch you fail. So at the end of the day, what I want you to do is say, how do I be humble today? And then say, and how do I take that relationship that I've just been humble with and use it so that I become great down the road? That's what I want you to do. And that's basically the first thought that we're going to talk about today, is how we do that. Because essentially, what I want you to do is share this with your friends and family. Tell them what you're planning. If you need to, apologize to them for your lack of humility. And tell them to help you become great. Keep a journal or a log, something that you learned and put into action each day, tracking your wins and referring to them when you're struggling for the energy gives you affirmation of the progress you are making. And it's important that you affirm that progress. Tell yourself how good you're doing. Get an accountability partner to cover your blind spots and give you an outside perspective. I'm fortunate. I have a really good one in my wife. And she's not concerned about how she says something, better that she does say something. Sure, she pisses me off at times. But any relationship worth its salt is going to piss you off because they're going to tell you the truth. From their perspective, it's a truth you need to hear. So recognize it for what it is, a benefit to you. And then I want you to do quarterly checkups to make sure you are going in the direction that is congruent with where you want to go and who you want to be. A life plan may be the next step, measuring the fun in your life balance. If that is gone or minimized, do something about it, because it should be fun. And work should not just be work. Put another way, life is short. And the older you get, the more you recognize that. It was interesting today. I was thinking about this on the way back from the grocery store. That I have to build X number of houses to get the house that I want, or something similar to it. And if I have to do that, I have a period of time to do that in, and it is a defined period. I don't have necessarily as long as I did when I was obviously 50 or when I was 30. When I was starting out at 26, I had so many dreams. But now I have one. Find that greatness in me to get to the point where you get to the level of expertise that you produce the results that you're looking for. This is a good time to take a break. We're going to pause for about 45 seconds for a word from our sponsor, and then I'll be back with some more thoughts for you.
Do you want to learn more about affordable home ownership and what Ed Robinson with the National Affordable Home Ownership Coalition nonprofit has going on in the Sarasota, Bradenton, Florida area? Well, go to infinitelyhomes.com and read all about it. Don't forget to go to the events page for upcoming seminars in the area. And the newsletter can be found on the Home Sweet Home page. See you on the website, which once again is www.infinitelyhome.com.
You know, we all face challenges in our life. And every challenge is an opportunity. I tell my wife that I don't have problems, I have challenges. Because if I don't look at something as an opportunity, then I get like I did today, which was frustrated with the computer problems that I had. And they were problems to me today. They weren't challenges. To my wife, it was a challenge. And she fixed it rather quickly, much to my chagrin. But, you know, I've been sharing this lesson for years, and I know it to be true, but knowing it doesn't make it any easier while you're going through a challenge. It's hard to see what the opportunity is when you're just trying to get through the adversity you are facing. It only seems, in retrospect, are we able to see what the challenge is meant to teach us and the opportunity and the path forward. Years ago, I had a friend who had a wife named Catherine. And he called me one day with a story, and I got permission from him to use this story because I think it really demonstrates what challenges and opportunities mean to each other. He and his wife were celebrating that day that he called me that she was officially off probation. And my response was, "What probation? What are you talking about?" She received 6 months probation after being arrested at LaGuardia Airport. And what he told me was, it was one of the strangest days in his entire life. He had just finished speaking to all the principals of the New York City school system. And they went to LaGuardia Airport, where she was flying to Kansas and he was flying home to Florida. So they went to different terminals, and after 20 minutes after I arrived, she texted him, "Don't freak out. It's all going to be okay, but I just got pulled by TSA and they just called the police." He said, "What?" And she texted back, "You know that lipstick taser I carry in my purse for protection? Well, I forgot to put it in my checked baggage. I told them to just keep it, but they called the police anyway. I'm sure we'll be fine. Just get on your flight." I couldn't leave. I mean, he couldn't leave knowing this was going on. He waited and waited, and then she finally called him and said, "Oh my God, they are arresting me. And they are taking me to the local precinct at the airport and about to handcuff me, and they are taking my phone." It turns out her lipstick taser is legal in Florida, where they lived, and in most states but three, New York being one. Who knew? Three police officers took her away in handcuffs. I called my client in Kansas and said that she had to cancel. My mission, or his mission, at that point in time, was to find his wife and get her out of jail. And just saying those words is funny now that I say them again, but he was absolutely crazy then. He eventually found the local precinct, and after taking a few airport shuttle buses and dodging cars, and he was told she would be transported from the local precinct to the Queen City Jail and have to go up in front of a judge. But since the judge wasn't in, she would have to stay overnight in a jail cell and see the judge sometime in the next few days. I'm sure he felt like he was in Twilight Zone. At that point, he called a friend who lives in New York, and he knew a great attorney who called me and said he didn't think they could keep my wife out of jail, but he could try and help her get her own jail cell. And in the meantime, his wife was locked up in a jail cell at the precinct. I talked to the cops, and they said they had good news. My wife wasn't a terrorist and didn't have a record. And he wanted to yell, "I know, she's a wife and a mother." Speaking of being a mother, he had to call his kids. "Hey, kids. Mom's in jail." The cops said his wife was still going to the city jail to see the judge. Well, he sat down put his head down and just prayed. He didn't know what to do. He felt helpless, powerless, and just tried to stay positive. About a few hours later, he got a call from the attorney, and he had good news. They were going to let my wife go. She wouldn't have to stay overnight in jail, but they'd have to fly back in a month for her court date. Of course, he didn't want to fly back, but anything was better than making his wife stay overnight in jail with nothing but the dress she had on. A month later, the judge gave her 6 months probation and community service, which she does a ton of already. And this week, she is officially off probation. He told me he could no longer tease her, saying that he was married to a criminal, but truth be told, it was a scary, crazy time that will probably always be part of them. But in all seriousness, this experience gave them all a whole new perspective. They saw and felt how fast you could lose your freedom. 1 minute you're free, the next you're in jail. They were fortunate to have the resources to deal with this, but what about those who don't? What about those who are more likely to be arrested and placed in the system because of their skin color or nationality? I'm sure they think about this often and now see the opportunity this challenge has presented. They believe in law enforcement. I mean, his dad was a New York City cop. But they want to be an advocate for change to improve the system. We have no idea what that looks like right now. He might even run for office, but who knows? This challenge is an opportunity to make them better and make the world better. And that's what we all have to do. In order to grow, we have to take our messes and make it our message. We have to transform our test into our testimony. We have to take every challenge in our lives and use them to create a better future. That's what I try to do with you every day. You get little anecdotes about my life, good, bad, indifferent, it doesn't matter. I'm going to share them. You and I will probably never meet, and that's okay. Because that gives me the freedom to be candid with you, to let you know that at the end of the day, you know, there's something to be said for honesty. There's something to be said for saying, I made this mess, I cleaned this mess up, this is the result. And that's what we need to do each and every day. Today, like I told you, I had a mess with my computer. Through the help of my wife, which we should all think about, seeking help when you don't know the answer. I can remember days when I used to throw my computer off the wall, and I'm serious. I had a terrible temper. No more. It's much more important to me to be able to live a long and healthy life. Much more important for now. I still get frustrated. But I have a great life with my wife, and I don't want to give that up. We should all feel the same way about everything that we do. Take the best out of everything and make that your mantra. Say thank you every night before you go to sleep for what you experienced each and every day. That's what it's all about, guys. And that's my message for today. You have a good life. I'll talk to you tomorrow, and we'll talk about something new. Good day. This is Ed Robinson saying goodbye.